In today's gospel, Jesus told his disciples to explore all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These words, this little clause of a single sentence in a single gospel, is the only explicit mentioning of the Trinity in all of the gospels. And when I first learned that, I felt as though I ought to be shocked, maybe even outraged. But beyond my initial and really superficial surprise, I felt merely indifferent. I have never personally thought of theology as a central tenet of my own spirituality. And it never seemed to me that this fact, or the theological absurdities implied, were ever going to truly change my spiritual sentiments. Now, I can largely attribute my ambivalence towards theology to the fact that youth group, at least for me, was never about learning Bible stories. You may imagine us memorizing psalms or singing hymns or studying doctrine, but youth group really wasn't about that. And this may cause dismay among some of you, but seriously, don't worry. Youth group was not a traditional Sunday school, but it was an examination of my faith, my belief in God, and my own personal spirituality. Youth group was, especially on our service trips, the most profound time of personal growth thus far in my life. And youth group was a place where I experienced moments of sincere spirituality. It's the only place where that line from the Sunday school pageants, "The Holy Spirit moved within," has ever really resonated with me. I could not have been happier about my 4 years in youth group. And I still have Daniel Mark's Bible from what I was assured by other church kids would be the best Sunday school class ever. I've opened it no more than a handful of times. And Daniel may not have instilled in Rebecca and I a love of ecclesiastical and doctrinal study, but he, with the other leaders of Sunday school and youth group, equipped us with something even more valuable. Life lessons about social justice and equality, support in our lives, and, through the community and love that is shared in our youth group, vast personal growth. The youth group is a special place, and it means something different to everyone.
A valuable thing brought to all of us was the feeling of friendship and belonging. Since day one, it has given us a place to talk and to find support. The love shared in friendships like these brings me to the primary way that I've experienced my own spirituality, which is through the value of being kind to everyone. It is a big value that this community at this church has really taught me. One of the amazing things I've noticed about our church is that we include everyone. No matter what orientation you are, what sexuality, or even how you define religion, everyone is welcome here. This really gave me, and I think my brother too, the chance to flourish and experience a religion in our own ways, and give us a lot of open-ended class to explore, which we are still doing. About 2 years ago, one of my friends from high school invited me to volunteer with her for a program called Recess. Each month, this one-on-one program takes care of children with physical disabilities and their siblings for the evening and encourages the parents to go out and have a night to themselves. A big part of this program is to not only give the parents a bit of a break, but also to inspire and encourage every child and remind them that they can achieve anything and to never feel bad about who they are. When I first started working with this program, it was tiny, with only around 10 volunteers and 10 kids. Over the next years, just through friends bringing friends, as had been done to me, this tiny community grew to be huge with over 30 kids and 30 volunteers every night. This Recess community, full of encouraging and loving people who included everyone, really reminded me of our church community and the values that it has taught me, inclusivity and love and community. Another big moment where I really experienced these values was through L'Arche. For those who don't know, L'Arche is an international federation dedicated to the creation and growth of homes, programs, and support networks for people who have intellectual disabilities. I've been there 3 times, the third being just a few weeks ago, and every time I've been there, we have attended a Teze service, which is something I loved. Just seeing how everyone there is included, despite all of their differences, was amazing. Everyone accepted each other for who they were, and the whole place was full of love. Everyone's differences were appreciated and valued, which is something you don't often see in everyday life. I think both spirituality and religion as a whole have the power to bring everyone together to form a loving, inclusive community. Seeing children in the Recess program make lifelong friends and flourish in an accepting community that encourages differences, and seeing people at L'Arche interact with each other with purely love, teaches us all the importance of community and inclusivity. It illustrates the values that religion teaches, the values that I have felt through growing up in this Church of the Redeemer. To love and be kind. That is something I will continue to do for the rest of my life.
To love and be kind. In the moments when I have been moved from purely secular thought, I've never had a clear idea of what I've been moved towards. But Rebecca's depiction of the values of Redeemer is as close as I could ever get to describing that spiritual feeling. I'm really not sure how to say it better. But what I am sure of is that that feeling is something I hold close to my heart. Or rather, as Liska Stefka once told me, I should put it in my pocket and keep it there. Now that's about as a funny anecdote as I'm gonna get, and I know under Andrew Asbill you're supposed to start with that anecdote and slowly walk down the stairs and tie it to the gospel with one of these big sweeping gestures, but I'm gonna stay at the lectern for now. My earliest clear memory of that feeling was in St. Joseph's Oratory in Montreal. I remember walking around the heart of the oratory, blanket in silence. Carl Westerholm and I were staring up at the distant ceiling, and out in the gardens behind the church, Carl remarked to me that he was feeling the feels, and I couldn't help but agree. It felt as though faith and devotion were filling the cracks between stones and seeping between the intricate lines of stained glass. That night in the basement of the Mennonite Order where we were staying, sitting in a circle with our journals, that was when we heard that Daniel Mark had passed on. I can still feel the weight of the silence that sat between each of us in that circle. The absolute and genuine love and support that was present in that room that night was more profound and more encompassing and more beautiful than even the devotion that was poured into the cold stone, glass, and wood of St. Joseph's Oratory. And until recently, it had been years since I thought about that night, and I'd always reflected that St. Joseph's was the place where I experienced some form of God or the Trinity or spirituality, but in rereading my journaled account of the trip, it was really the community of loved ones around me that I associated with faith. And in fact, it was in that same journal, in that same journal entry later that evening, that I decided to give this sermon. And that silence that I sat in, that silence is a friend of spirituality. Silence lets us turn inward and examine our own feelings, questions, and insecurities. Silence lets us turn outward and form a nonverbal connection with those in silence around us. The lonely path a mind wanders through when it is subjected to silence is particularly unique in its ability to let the mind run wild and gallop through fields of thought as silence thunders overhead. Just recently, on May 19th, I was again examining my own feelings and questions as silence fell in the room around me. I was sitting in the church at Large Richmond Hill, listening to Liska finish her sermon. And shortly thereafter, as a part of the Tese service, there was a period of silence. And I found myself wading into that quiet, and then suddenly overwhelmed, tearing up. If there was ever a time that I could say the Holy Spirit moved within me, it was right at that moment. But I still can't explain to you what I felt that night, other than I think it's what some people talk about as God. That feeling, to me, echoes in the choruses of soaring music. It reverberates through the caverns of silence. I felt it first in Montreal, and again recently at L'Arche, and still, I cannot explain it to you. There is no literary device that I can use to quantify this feeling other than if you felt it, you might know what I'm talking about. And this is the beauty of spirituality. We never really know what we're experiencing. Maybe we're experiencing an element of the Trinity, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit. Maybe we're experiencing a Hindu God or that feeling First Nations people talk about when they connect into nature. Or maybe we're feeling the Buddha Zen. Perhaps all these things are the same. And the Trinity perfectly encapsulates an element of this contradiction and ambiguity. We do not know how exactly to separate the three entities of the Trinity, just as we may not know which element we are experiencing. But I think the three elements of the Trinity are like my two arms. They're very similar. My arms are both part of my body, but they do slightly different tasks. I can write with the right one, but I brush my teeth with my left arm. My right arm puts the power behind a canoe paddle, but my left arm is better at finessing the blade to do a J-stroke. In the same way, each element of the Trinity is all a part of Christianity, and each element represents something spiritual, but they act in our lives in different manners. Personally, I like my right arm more than my left arm, but some people prize themselves as lefties. Many people seem to find vocation in the teachings of Jesus. Still others spend their lives working to serve God. I personally feel more connected to what I think is the Holy Spirit than I do to Jesus or God. But thus far, I've only tried to embrace these feelings as moments of unquestioned spirituality. I've not been able to wrap my head around the idea that they're connected to each individual element of the Trinity. And this makes me absolutely not the right person to preach on Trinity Sunday. I don't fully understand how each element works together, and I only feel a personal connection with one third of the Trinity. But I'm hoping this is reassuring to you, because my personal idea about all of this is that it doesn't matter. The feelings of love, community, inclusivity, and contentment, the feelings that I felt at L'Arche and in that basement in Montreal that Rebecca felt at the recess program, are more than enough to supplant our lack of knowledge about the Trinity. I could suggest to you that you read the Athanasian Creed, but I read it prior to this sermon, and it wasn't helpful enough that I should recommend it to you. Scholars go back and forth on what the Creed is saying, but few matters are truly decided. But whatever the case, the dark and noisy corners of debate and conflict are outshined by the quiet glow of community and support and love and happiness. And this is exactly what Rebecca and I have found in the Church of the Redeemer. This community has sent us to L'Arche, to Montreal, as far as the Yukon and as close as the loft upstairs. And in each place, we've had resoundingly meaningful discussions that have taught us very important life lessons. That one spirituality is fluid. That we don't need to have all of the questions answered. That we need to love and be kind.